Welcome, everyone. I am Roland. I am one of the, I'm on the leadership team here at the church. So every once in a while when Scott's out or not feeling well, I get asked to speak. So here I am. I was sitting there thinking that Ella did a great job covering for Katie. I was remembering that the first time I ever spoke here at church, it was Ella's first time singing too. So I was thinking about that. I was telling Katie earlier that most of you guys are probably glad that Scott asked me to speak for him instead of cover for Katie back there, because most of you guys would have left already by now. At least, you know, we'll get through at least three quarters before people are leaving now. So interesting. I just want to make a couple interesting points about Scott asking me. So back in September, Scott had asked me to speak on a Saturday. He's like, I'm not sure I'll be able to speak on Sunday. Is anybody available to speak? And I said, well, I always enjoy speaking. I don't have anything like ready, but I can get something ready. It was Saturday afternoon. I'm like, I can get something ready and have it ready for Sunday morning. And then Sunday morning came. He said, I'm feeling better. I'm going to be there. And now I'm like a little upset because I'm like, I wanted to speak, but I have this message to preach, right, and to speak to you guys. And yesterday he sent out a message to the leadership team and said, is anybody available? Anybody have a back pocket message? And oh, I have a back pocket message now. So here I am. The neat part about the back pocket message was, you know, that was in September. It's January now. That message probably fits in perfectly with what Scott was going to preach today a little bit. He was going to talk about trust. The name of my message is, do you really trust God? Faith in the modern world. And I got here this morning. I had sent out my PowerPoint to Scott. He put it in with the songs. I had no idea what songs. Songs are always picked early. And I get here and I'm like, they fit in perfectly. So God had a purpose, I think, for this message. So, and this morning I had computer issues at home, which tells me that maybe there's somebody trying to stop the message from getting out there. So I hope whoever needs to hear the message is here and will hear the message. So, back in September, Scott had been talking a little bit about the four kinds of biblical love. And if anybody remembers kind of those things he was talking about, he talked about agape love, which basically is sacrificial love. So we sacrifice our love for, you know, hopefully for God, right? But we also talk about agape love in relation to people that we deal with, right? And showing God's love to others. So I'm going to talk a little bit today about really what it means to make ultimate sacrifices for God, and how our love for God and what he asks for us from that love, right? So a lot of us, we're going to talk from Genesis 22 today, verses 1 through 19, which if you know that story, it's where Abraham is called to take his son and sacrifice him, basically. God tells him, take him up in the mountain and you know, sacrifice him. And so that, to me, is a high level of sacrificial love, right? And Abraham, as far as I can tell in reading the story, he didn't really hesitate much, and he just said, I'm going to do it, right? So we're going to talk a little bit today about what it means to be willing to die for God and to sacrifice for God. And I got to tell you, this message really, it hit home for me. There's a lot of personal stuff in here with me, I'm speaking to myself too. It's not just, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying any of that kind of stuff. So keeping that in mind, that's where we're coming from. Going to the story of Abraham, it's spoken to me a lot over my time, especially over the last 10 or 11 years. And if you know anything about Abraham, so Abraham, to get to this point of sacrificing his son, he had to have a son, right? Because you can't sacrifice a son without having one. So, and if anybody knows the story of Abraham and Sarah, they were old. They didn't have any children, and God promised them that they would have children, right? And God delivered on that promise. So here's Abraham and Sarah. They have Isaac. It makes this story of sacrificing even more, you know, because here's something that he waited forever for, right? You know, decades and up to 100 years. And so waiting all that time and then finding that God was asking him to sacrifice him was a big deal. The last 11 years or so, 11 years ago, even beyond that, my wife and I, we were getting on in age and wanted to have children. We always wanted to have children. We had been married for probably 10 years at that point in time. And to tell you the truth, I was starting to get a little upset with God. You know, it was like, why are we not having children? And we did all the things that we needed to do to figure out why we couldn't have, why we weren't having children, and there was no reason that we couldn't have children. And so, and I work with a lot of kids who, you know, have children randomly, just, you know, and so I'm like, God, why are you, you know, we would be good parents, why are we not having? And so I started questioning why God is not bringing that in. And so this whole idea of Abraham and Sarah, we weren't quite that old. We're getting that. We're getting there now. But and having a child, by the way, will age you. Just so you know. So if you're anybody's questioning or wondering, that's what happens. So put that in the backdrop of where we are. So I think this is working. All right. So here I'm going to go back a little bit to September 2013. And so if you look at this picture, beautiful couple. Anybody know where we are? We were at Fenway, first time we ever went to a game. This is also apparently the first picture of our family of three, because we had no idea Carolyn was pregnant at this point in time. She was probably 3 months pregnant, right, at this time or something like that, two and a half months pregnant. We still had no idea. So we always looked at this picture and we say, well, this is a picture of the three of us, first picture, and technically Daniela got to her first Red Sox game here. And so we were still in, and you got to be careful what you pray for. So that July, our church that we were going to had a, we were having a kids' summer, what do they call it? Vacation Bible school kind of thing. And the whole idea was we wanted to draw children to our church, right? And hopefully families to come into our church. So we were praying as a leadership team at the time for, you know, children to come into our church. Little did I know we were praying for us to have our child, because that's about when, you know, the conception happened, was when we were praying for this, that these children to come into our... So anyway, story of God. God has been moving in this, in our lives, even though we were kind of not aware. Again, we didn't find out we were pregnant until about 4 months into the pregnancy. For some reason, that was just what happened. We went to the doctor that you go to for pregnancies. Don't ask me what, you know, I didn't write that down, so I should next time. And she said, are you ready to have a child? You know, do you have a place in your room? I said, lady, I do not have a place in my head for a child yet. This is one of these things. So even though we were praying for it and it was supposed to come, so we fast forward a little bit here to early 2014, and here's Daniela. If anybody, and so again, this is, to me, this is one of my Abraham moments, I think, of, you know, I had been wanting a child, Carolyn and I had been wanting a child, and so this beautiful child comes into our life, kept us up many, many, many nights. Doesn't anymore, which is good, but I'm still catching up on my sleep. But yeah, she came into our life. Her name is Daniela Grace, which I was looking for names, and Daniel means miracle, and Grace, so I believe we called her Miracle of Grace, because we had been trying for years and years, no reason why, and I believe that the reason that why she came along was because we gave up trying, and we kind of let God do his thing. And so here's our picture of our Miracle of Grace. So again, fast forward to, you know, this is like our Abrahamic moment, because I was, Carolyn, I forget how old she was when we had Daniela, but 37, and I was like, you know, 40, which is kind of old to have children, you know, but, you know, we're making do. we're getting there. But it kind of felt like our Abrahamic moment, and so when we get into the story of Genesis 22, and this time when, you know, fast forward a little bit, Abraham had this child, I believe he was probably around 10 or 11, I think. I'm not exactly sure when he was called to be, you know, he told Abraham, bring this child to the mountain and sacrifice him to me. And so I'll read some of this to you. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham, as he tests us all, but he tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, Abraham replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you. So you got to believe that Abraham was probably a bit confused at this point, right? He's like, God, you know, in Genesis 18, a few chapters before, the Lord had granted him and Sarah a child, basically in their old age. It was not something that, you know, it was a miracle of sorts to have a child at that age, and so here's Isaac. Abraham also, you know, had done a lot of things. God had led him and used him in a lot of ways. He, you know, Abraham pleaded with God to save the people of Sodom. So, the question that Abraham probably had was, why are you testing me? Why are you asking me to sacrifice Isaac? But the thing is that, like I said, Abraham, there's nothing in there that said Abraham actually, you know, questioned him out loud. This is kind of my thinking. Abraham trusted God because he had seen him do great things, right, already in his life. So off they go, right, onto Moriah. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey, took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up, and he saw that place in the distance, heading toward Moriah. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Interesting point here. I was reading some stuff, and it says, we will come back to you. If he was going to sacrifice him, would he actually come back will we come back or will just I come back? I don't know at this point if Abraham knew that God was going to, what God was going to do, but again, Abraham trusted God, or maybe he didn't want the servants to get, you know, a little nervous. He said, we will come back. So, it's, you know, again, nowhere in the scripture does it say he questioned God. It just says that the next morning, he went, he did what the Lord told him to do. So here's your command. Abraham took it and walked with it. I also focused a little bit here where they say the word worship. He was about to sacrifice his only son, right? But he still said, we're going to go worship. How important was God in his life? You know, this, you know, that he would take what he was given, this miracle that he was given, and take it to sacrifice. So basically, I look at this and I say, you know, calling it worship, he was giving back to God what was God's anyway, right? God had given him this son, and God was going to do with Isaac what God wanted to do with Isaac, and so if the sacrifice needed to be done, that was God's purpose. And so, you know, reading through that, I think that's kind of what he was saying. All right, Genesis 22, verse 6, it says, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering. He placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So he gave Isaac the wood that he was going to carry to be the offering. Isaac, at this point, I believe, does not know any of what's going on. He's just kind of, again, trusting in his father, right? Abraham was trusting in his father, God, and Isaac was doing what he was supposed to do. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and he said to his father, Abraham, he said, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And then the two of them went on together, right? So, Isaac still really had no idea what was going on. He trusted his father. They went on and they were going to head up to the mountain and worship. And again, I think this whole idea about this sacrifice, right? It kind of foreshadows, when we look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Old Testament, everything points to Jesus, right? And if we go through the Old Testament, it's all, you know, Jesus is coming. We have our Messiah is coming. A lot of people who read this section in the Bible will tell you that this will really foreshadow Jesus coming, right? Because here's Abraham sacrificing Isaac. Isaac becomes, or should become, the lamb, right, for the sacrifice. And so it's a little bit of foreshadowing. And the other thing here, I think, is that maybe Abraham was hoping that there would be a different outcome. Maybe he, you know, trusted God enough to realize that maybe there's going to be a way out of not having to sacrifice Isaac. And most of us know that's really what happened. So, am I ahead in the slides? I think I am. There I am. All right, I'm back. So, starting in verse 9, when they reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there, and he arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. This is always interesting to me because did Isaac fight back to, you know, he's being bound up and thrown on the altar? Did he fight back? I don't know. The way the story goes, I don't think he did because, again, trusting his father and going with it. So he reached out his hand. He took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. So just at the moment that he was going to sacrifice Isaac, the angel comes. Here I am, Abraham replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And again, this testing of Abraham to the point of almost being the sacrifice, he makes it. You know, he stops him and things turn out for both of them fairly well. And again, God's plan was that he would not really be sacrificed. So question I had in this was, should we trust the Lord's timing, right? Do things happen when they're supposed to happen? I believe that I see it enough that I believe the timing happens. I think just the fact that I'm speaking this message today after getting it ready in September, it probably wasn't the time. Maybe today's the time I was supposed to speak it. And I think, you know, God has better timing than I have. If he were speaking this sermon, it would be, he wouldn't have missed that slide either. So, I don't know. But, and the other question I have is, are we ever tested, right? We're always tested as we go through the world. We are not with God, right? We should, in our heart, we're with God. But when we go out in the world today, the world is not a safe place all the time. And so, we are always tested, and so we need to trust in God and trust in his timing that things are going to happen the way they need to happen. Verse 13, so Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over, he took the ram, he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son, and so Abraham called that place the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said that on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time, and he said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. I think there's another slide. Yeah. As the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore, your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. So, again, this whole idea of testing, right, and waiting on God's promise. God promised Abraham a son. And actually, beyond that, right, he promised that there would be a multitude of offspring. And all that came to pass. And this testing that happened for him was he trusted him enough that, you know, if the sacrifice had to happen, he was willing to do it because God, he trusted and believed in God enough to do that. God, and also here, God provided the sacrifice, right? As he was about to sacrifice Isaac, the ram was there. Some would say, as I was going through this, that the ram was really what we would be Jesus, right? That sacrifice was done in the name of Jesus, foreshadowing again of what would happen later when Jesus arrived. It saved so Isaac would be us, right? That our sins and people, and so Jesus died in place of Isaac or for our sins, and so keeping in mind here, God has a plan. God had a plan for Abraham. He had a plan for Isaac. He has a plan for all of us, right? We need to keep that in mind as we move forward in life. Things don't always turn out the way we want them to, but they will always turn out the way God wants them to. So keeping in mind, it always feels weird when you talk about some stuff like this, like, you know, well, we just pray that somebody's not going to pass away or not going to die. And so sometimes people die. That's God's plan, right? And so we just have to be willing. We can pray for those things, but we have to be willing that if the other stuff, you know, if the bad stuff happens, that that is God's plan, right? And there's some reason in that. So I wanted to, so it comes back to, back in September when I was thinking about writing this, Daniela had just started school at the middle school, and so coming back to Daniela as being like my Isaac. So Daniela had started at the middle school, and Daniela is really my mini-me, so here's some pictures. She's also Carolyn's mini-me. We feel bad that we gave her both of our genes because that's, you know, we're kind of crazy people, and it gives her a little bit of craziness, but she's a good kid. And here's my some of my mini-me pictures, right? we just like having fun together, and so... you know, if God asked me to sacrifice her, it would be, there'd be some questions and things, but do I trust God enough to do those things? And our family, again, you know, we don't talk about Sarah in this, but Sarah must have had some feelings around kind of what was happening with Isaac, and I don't even know if Abraham talked to Sarah about what was going to happen. We don't get that in here, but, you know, Daniela has made a big imprint on our lives, even though we waited a long time for her. This was kind of I feel God blessed us with her, right? And that's a reality. So again, this whole mini me and the whole family thing. So back in September, the Georgia school shooting happened, and I was dropping Daniela off at school, and I was thinking, it's a terrifying world that we live in out there, right? That's dropping, you know, I'm sitting there, part of me is thinking, you know, what happens if that happened here? You know, do I trust God enough to drop my daughter off at school where something like this could happen, right? A school shooting. And so, again, the do I trust God? Do I have faith that even though it's a scary, crazy world out there, do I have faith dropping her off at school? And I got to tell you, in the back of my mind too, when I was growing up, my mother was the most protective mother ever. It was she would drive me to school and almost walk me to the door. It was very you know, you want people picking on you at school, that will do it. And so I get it today that she really just loved me so much that she, you know, wanted to protect me and take care of me, but there's this piece of us too as parents that we have to push our kids out of the nest and let them find their own way and that kind of thing. But in this world today, back then we didn't have school shootings, we didn't have, you know, kids getting abducted and all this kind of stuff. So I was sitting there going, what's my response to this, you know, after the Georgia school shooting? And it was around September 11th, and I remember dropping her off at school, and there was a officer out front of the school, you know, doing his thing because 9/11 might have been a day that somebody might have done something crazy. And my whole, I was thinking, do I become that protective person that my mother was that just did not serve me well? And my reaction to that has to be, do I trust God enough to, he blessed us with this child. She is the child that we have been given, and he wants something from her. I know that. Scott's always like telling me that, you know, she's here for a reason, that, you know, in our church, and she does things, and the way she is, she's a little quirky. But so are me and Carolyn, so she's a lot more quirky than we are now because she's got both our genes. But anyway, do I trust her, and do I trust God with Daniela? I would try to protect her from the world, but that's not what God wants, right? He wants her to go out and do what she can do, and if that means that I drop her off and something happens, then I got to be okay with that. Because the other thing is staying in my house and worrying about what's going on there, and I'm not serving God in that capacity. So here I am dropping her off. This is her first day of school, fifth grade, Westbrook Middle School, bigger school than she was used to. You can see the look in her eye. She's like, I'm not quite sure about this. What do I do? And she has just hit the ground running, and she pretty much owns the school now, I think, in a lot of ways. She's all the teachers know her. She gets around. She's, you know, doing band. She's doing all those kind of things. And so, but her look that day was like, I'm not sure about this big school. And at least I saw that in her eye. And so, you know, my thing is, I think God tells us that instead of being fearful, we need to rejoice in hope, right? We have this hope. God has promised us. I've read the end of the Bible. I've read the end of the book. And so it's not going to get any better for a while when it gets really, really bad. And so we just have to rejoice in hope. We have to be patient in tribulation, so when things are happening around us, we have to just be patient, let things happen, and we have to be constant in prayer. And to me, that's the big thing, is that when I drop her off, I'm praying that her day is going to be good. I'm praying that my day is going to be good. You know, Carolyn works at the high school, and so, you know, it's one of those things. We're just constant in prayer. Here's a picture of Daniela. Serving at the Open Door Kitchen, and so, which she loves to do, and it's just always neat to see her kind of get more confident in what she's doing. But 2 Timothy 1:7, basically, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So again, not being afraid of what's out there in the world. That doesn't mean that we're not planning for things or we're not thinking about what ifs. But that we need to have this, you know, that we, God's got us here for a purpose. What's my purpose today? What am I going to do? And so that's where we need to put our emphasis in life. So spirit of fear, not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So some of my takeaways are basically, number one, we can take precautions, but we must not fear. So again, I always hate that they have the drills in school for the kids where they have to hide behind hide behind the doors. It's scary to me that these things happen, but and we can do those things and get people ready, but we shouldn't do it in a spirit of fear. We should do it in a spirit of readiness. God has that plan for us, whatever that is. Number two, we need to stay focused on glorifying God with our lives. Instead of, if we're stuck in fear, we're not doing things that are glorifying God. And so that's the thing. We show up where God wants us to show up, whether that's fifth grade at Westbrook Middle School or, you know, my job or, you know, we need to get groceries for something. We show up at those places in the idea that we're glorifying God. Number three, God has this, right? He has a plan. So keep in mind that things, you know, no matter what happens, God is working through those things for the good. And then number four, Jesus will return to make it all right. So I think that to me is the sacrifice that happened on the cross makes it all right now. But in the end, we're not going to have those things that we're going to be fearful of. Jesus will make it all right. Gave us a spirit of fear, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So I leave you with this question. It's me. I work on this daily. I still, you know, have those little bit of fears that kind of pop up, but I'm trying to work at being better with this. But do you really trust God, right? Do you? and if you don't, what changes can you make to learn to trust him more in those things and not letting those fears adjust how you're living and how you're being used by God in the places that you're being asked to sit. So I'm going to ask the worship team. I know the worship team's got a final song that really... I couldn't have planned the last song any better, I don't think, if I had told them what they needed to sing after this thing that I had no idea I was talking about today. But I want to pray before they sing, and then we'll let them take us out. So, dear Lord, I just pray that this message, I know you gave me this message to speak, and I hope that it came out clearly, and I hope people will walk away with what they need to do in their lives moving forward. We just thank you that we can trust you, that you have promised us through your Son on his death on the cross, that we do not have to be fearful of anything. We do not have to live in a spirit of fear, or that all those sins and all those things that are wrong in our lives, that we can just let those all go and give them to you. And again, we just ask you to be with us through the day today and through the week ahead. And we thank you for who you are and all you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.